We'll say the lecture verse first. The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Very good to see you all here today, celebrating great compassion, obviously very much needed at all times, especially now. We seem to say that a lot, especially now. But now is the time to practice compassion. So I'd like to talk just a bit about the ceremony and the scriptures and the Bodhisattva, and in particular highlight something that has been dawning on me over the years, that all acceptance, the practice of all acceptance, gives birth to great compassion. You can't have one without the other. We did the ceremony today, invoking the help of universal great compassion, not just for Buddhists, this is universal. As in the offertory, she is called the universally penetrating one. No limitations on where she can go and penetrate. Also, she is called a she, or he, or it, but we use the she here, who hears, listens, and heeds the cries of the world, regarder of the cries of the world, the sorrows of the world. And so is one of the most popular bodhisattvas, of course, in Mahayana Buddhism, and one that everyone feels accessible, the practice of compassion totally accessible to everyone. And really, one of the first things we have to learn in our Buddhist training. It's said that she or he will appear in all places at any time, in any way or form that will be of help to beings. No limitations there. She can take on an infinite variety of forms, some of which are displayed in the hall here today. As we walked around the hall and bowed to the various forms of Kanzeon, we call on her help. We open our hearts to the appearance, the manifestation, and the reality of great compassion in our lives, often arising in unexpected ways and places. She points us to the innate compassion of our own Buddha nature, encouraging us to practice it in our daily training. And in doing so, we become one with her great vows and ceaseless work of universal compassion. You'll see various forms, maybe as Buddhism becomes more established in the West, we'll have more very Western forms. We have a lot of Chinese and Japanese ones in here. It doesn't matter, of course. We have her island over there, her Puto Island in China, where that is her special place, dwelling place, and there are many temples to her on that island. People make pilgrimages to Puto Island. Of course, sometimes she's standing, sometimes she's seated. This one here where she's seated, the first one on that wall, is one of my absolute favorites that I have had since I was a new monk, where she's with such a compassionate expression looking on the choppy waves of samsara. So always ready to help in any way, can appear as male or female or anything. The Kanzeon image on our altar, the big one, has 1,000 hands and eyes. Often she's shown with many different heads as well and different faces, and carrying all manner of implements, representing the countless ways of helping and offering compassion, both to ourselves and to others. So you'll see, a lasso or rope to help restrain selfishness. You'll see a staff, to guide us on the way. Everything from food to, medicines and so on. Some of the faces can even be angry or sad, as well as the beautiful and the benign. As sometimes it's loss or grief or situations that are difficult to bear that push us more deeply into meditation and awaken compassion within us. Personal experience and training has shown me that if we keep going with faith and acceptance through all the ups and downs of life, even the most difficult will open us to greater compassion and sympathy for all who are suffering, including a deeper embracing of our own afflictions and suffering. I, just along those lines, someone mentioned to me the other day that they read a New York Times article by a person who says, and I didn't read it myself, but I heard about it, I know it sounds crazy, he says, but I've often told people my brain tumor is the best thing that's ever happened to me. So this devastating diagnosis that probably is terminal eventually caused him, however, to repair his very poor relationship with his children and brought peace to them all and his family in a major way. So there you go. Of course, one wouldn't wish such a thing on anyone, and we don't seek out suffering and pain and illness, of course, but it's a good example how, and this is in the New York Times, a good example how anybody can open to compassion and to make use of even the most difficult experiences, and also how the compassion of our own Buddha nature ultimately makes good use of everything. Hard to see sometimes, but as you go on, you will experience this. Great Master Dogen, in his Shobogenzo chapter on Kanon, the Bodhisattva of Compassion, talks about how the whole of Kanzeon's being is hands and eyes. And as I understood that and read it again and again, I've read it numerous times and I never quite got it, but this time the penny dropped a little bit, and I realized that there's no separate self there with Kanzeon. There's no going out and being compassionate to beings. There's just the immediate, reflexive, instinctive response to suffering. As in the offertory that Laurie so beautifully sang, we just heard, as a magnet attracts iron. And that's the way our compassion will manifest when we're, as we go deeper in training. The scriptures and invocations we've recited come from direct experience of who Kanzeon is and how she works in our hearts and in the world. In the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, we are shown how Kanzeon, when called upon, will rescue us from the suffering of all manner of disasters, tragedy, afflictions, bondage, pain, illness, seemingly impenetrable obstacles we might encounter. And you can update those to things that you might experience in modern day life. Obviously, it was written many centuries ago, but still very applicable. We know what it feels like to be in those situations. It's important to remember that we are not separate from Kanzeon. We are Kanzeon too. We are bodhisattvas in training, baby Kanzeons, if you like. Maybe some are bigger Kanzeons. Seen those too. And an aspect of Kanzeon's help and rescue is our practice of faith, of stillness, and all acceptance of the difficult, of all situations, and in particular the difficult or impossible, seemingly impossible situations we might find ourselves in. Letting go of the way we wanted something to be, or how we thought a situation should have worked out, how we should have performed, how someone else should have done, etc., etc., whether in our personal lives or in the world. Many disappointments arise, right? But this is how we enter into all acceptance, just letting go of that little by little, being willing to be with, underlined, the way it actually is now. And this opens us to the reality of great compassion. And so it is in my experience when I've had to, when I've bumped into some seemingly impossible things. This may be obvious to all of you, but compassion's not an emotion. I'd like to make that clear. It's not something that we generate out of the self, in a sense. In my experience, it's more of an underlying truth that permeates everything and that we are completely a part of. We don't see that a lot of the time. We don't necessarily feel it all the time. That doesn't matter. If you touch on that just once, even for a second, you'll never forget it. I'm going to quote just a little bit here from, since we're talking about the Kanzan scripture. Reverend Master Khotan did a very succinct and nice commentary on the Kanzan scripture some years ago in an article, and I'll quote a little bit from him to bring out some of these points. Is struck by unfairness and disaster or pain you cannot bear, remember, take refuge in and practice compassion, and you will be able to go on. He has a nice way of putting it into plain English. The power of great compassion is miraculous, can be applied in all situations, in all worlds, everywhere. As I mentioned, there's no place where it cannot manifest itself. Hellish, bestial, evil, pain, in all circumstances and mental states, compassion can be applied. Because I think we do come upon certain mental states where we think that, you know, there's a line there. Okay, I can't go any further than this. But guess what? Maybe not at the moment, but we will be able to go further. There really is no limit, ultimately. To view things in this way and take refuge in compassion is not delusion or wishful thinking, but seeing things as they really are. In truth, free from confusion, full of love for all beings. Great compassion must always be remembered, prayed to, thought upon throughout our entire lives. She is pure light, he's commenting on the various passages in the scripture. She is pure light, wisdom dispelling all darkness, overcoming all obstacles. When the entire universe is shaking, she sits still, or you could say when the country is shaking, she sits still and pours out great compassion on the entire world, putting out the fires. When the news of the world grieves and oppresses us, think on the power of great compassion and remember that nothing can resist the power of compassion. Now, that's a very interesting concept for me to keep in mind, and I think very encouraging. True, nothing can really resist it in the long run. When we listen for the call of great compassion in our lives, we will hear the exquisite, powerful, and incomparable voice of kindness and clarity and stillness above all the clamor and din of the world. We have just this last week celebrated our annual Great Renewal of Vows Festival, where for 2 days we sat and meditated together and listened to the whole of the reading of the scripture of Brahma's net, our bodhisattva precepts and the foundations of training. And it really brings home how huge the Dharma is, incomparably vast and inspiring, and just helps one to see the bigger picture when you do get kind of bogged down in some of the news or some of the worries that you might be experiencing. So I found that extremely helpful, and we have to actively remind ourselves of that. Because of all this, we should have faith, he says, faith in and remember great compassion, a true holy refuge in all grief, trouble, and disaster, even in the face of death and destruction. Great compassion can never be exhausted, is full of merits and virtues. Because of this, she must forever be adored. They who hear this teaching about great compassion and remember to practice it will receive inestimable merit, because here the power of great compassion is described and explained. The life of compassion, endowed with all miraculous power, appears everywhere. The power of this teaching on great compassion causes those who truly listen to and practice it to want to go all the way on this incomparable path to the unborn. That's a bit from Reverend Master Khotan's commentary. Great Kanzan is mentioned, of course, in the scripture that we chant every day in the monastery, the most chanted scripture, I think, in the Mahayana tradition, the Heart Sutra, the scripture of great wisdom, in which we recite, when one with deepest wisdom of the heart that is beyond discriminative thought, the Holy One, Great Kanzan Bosatsu, knew that the skandhas five were as they are, in their self-nature, void, unstained, and pure. The skandhas, all that makes up our lives, mental, physical, volitional formations, feelings, etc. So she's able to see, this is the Buddha telling his disciple, this is how Kanzian sees things. When we train ourselves to open to the heart of great compassion, we see through very different eyes. Kanzian sees with the eyes of a Buddha. We can see things as they truly are in reality, that there really is no substantial separate self to take refuge in. We can see how compassion flows through and is one with everything, within and without, the good and the evil, right and wrong, all the blowing eight winds, all the seeming opposites. Nothing stands against great compassion. It is the great healer. I'm going to quote a little bit here from Reverend Master Jiu, where she, the same chapter that I referenced earlier, it's her commentary in Roar of the Tigers, Volume 2, which is on our website in the publications page, free for downloading. And Reverend Master Jiu says, I'm just starting in the middle of a paragraph here. This is the chapter, Kanzian Bodhisattva, Dogen's chapter on Kannon. This is a Japanese form of the term Kanzian. I'm actually very proud of Dogen for saying that Kanzian is not inferior to the Buddhas, but is their father and mother. All Buddhas are born out of Kanzian, for Kanzian is the expression of the great compassion of the unborn, the compassion that Buddha nature shows in the Dharma cloud, the compassion that comes out of the fingertips that know where to look and how to grope in the dark, no matter how dark the night, to find that which gives rest. And she also goes on to say, see, this book is well used. I've got little markers all over it. This is the old question, she says, of why a just God, in quotes, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, is foolish. I don't know if that's a quote from the Bible, but it's an old quote that she would have heard a lot. I don't know. We hear it so much nowadays, depending on your religion. If one understands Kanzian, she says, one understands that which is both pure love and pure compassion. That cannot discriminate between the just and the unjust. It is pure compassion. It is pure love. Here there is no such thing as, quote, judging rightness, end of quote. There is only non-discrimination, for love is love, and compassion is compassion. Mahaprajna, Mahakaruna, the two great pillars of the Mahayana, great wisdom and great compassion. They do not worry as to what a man or woman was. All they do is pour their benefits out on all equally. This is how your hands and eyes will be guided when you grope about in the darkness of unknowing, in utter willingness, allowing that which is to make use of you. And although your hands and eyes are then the meritorious functionings of the everywhere, everywhere capitalized, that's an expression that Dogen uses in this chapter, the meritorious functionings of the everywhere. Although your hands and eyes are then doing this, still you cannot be complacent in this knowledge. There's still the daily training, there's still, keeping the precepts and so on. It's not separate from all that. Chapter worth reading if you haven't read it yet, of course. So it's said that all acceptance is the gateless gate to freedom from suffering. I've sometimes wondered why it's called a gateless gate. However, in reflecting on it, in my experience, I realize we come from time to time to what seems like a barrier. However, if we relax a little, grasp our will and courage, with willingness, just go on and take the next step, the barrier dissolves. There wasn't actually a barrier in the first place. We walk through an invisible gate, or sometimes maybe experience it as rising up out of the mire of clinging. And the way opens before us, even if we can only see the next step forward. we begin to see the work of great Kanzeon, how she sees things, how all things are at heart Buddha. There is the immaculacy of the Buddha nature at the heart of life, and that great compassion, and that great compassion holds and embraces everything, as was just said, without discrimination and judgment. That's the big thing that's come across to me when I've just had my moments that make one dance. There's no judgment in there. Even within the uniqueness of our beings, as we are, our particular karma, in truth, we're not separate from each other, which Reverend Master Mann made reference to in her talk last week. Not separate, the animals, the planets, everything. We're not separate. In experiencing this deep connection, we still see and know that which is to be done and that which is not to be done. Just as great master Wanshi Shogaku, or in Chinese Hongzhi Zhengwei, who lived in the 1100s and very much influenced our Buddhist tradition and great master Dogen's teaching, as he says famously, there's no mountain barrier and no river separation. So how we treat ourselves and others, how we think of ourselves and others, is very significant. And everything that we experience can be turned to the good of our spiritual training. So I would just maybe end with those thoughts of my own and encourage us to delve more deeply into the compassion in our own hearts, to trust that, to know that it's there for you all the time, whether you think of Kanzeon as a being out there to call upon. There are times when you're just going to do that because that's all you can do. That's the only thing you can see, and just do it, don't hesitate. Or there are times when you realize you're drawing on something very deep from within yourself. Those things, those are not separate, they're all the same thing. Doesn't matter if it's inside or outside. But just do it. Don't get discouraged by what seems like a barrier. Just take that next step. And it's often just in little ways in our daily life, isn't it? A little bit of patience, a little bit of more listening, a little bit of reflection on how we did things during the day, yeah, that keep us in touch with that compassion. And that's it for today. Thank you. Thank you for coming.